And I told him the old story from Damon Runyon. He said, "What do you think about it?" In Guys and Dolls, they asked Skye Masterson, the hero of Guys and Dolls, "Skye, did you ever have a father?" And he says, "Well," he says, "not really. I was born, but," he says, "my dad was never around." He says, "But when I was about 20-some years old, I met my dad one day on Broadway, walking down Broadway, and I said hello. And the old man said, 'Skye, I'll give you one word of advice.' He said, 'Someday you're going to walk down Broadway, and a fellow's going to come along with a jack of spades in his shirt pocket right here. And he's going to tell you, I'll lay you 5-1, that the jack of spades will jump out of my shirt pocket and spit cider in your eye.' And he said, 'Son, if you take that bet, you're going to get an eye full of cider.'" And that's the story on all these things, you know. I'm skeptical. We got enough trouble with our own heads without interfering with others. Yes. One more question. I think we ought to get this gentleman up here had a question. Well, that's a very common experience, deja vu. Deja vu is a very common experience, and I certainly get that experience quite a bit, and I don't understand it, but it certainly does happen, and it's timing. Your mind is a very complex thing, and I don't explain it, but I mean, I think you get that experience. I've been here before. Now, I mean, I'm not a believer that you're recreated, you know, your previous life was a cockroach and you live in that house or something like that, but I'm not going to get into too much of this kind of stuff because it makes me nervous. Why don't we break now for lunch and let's forget about positive addiction in terms of this seminar, and I'd like to talk after lunch, I'd like to talk a little bit about school discipline and then do some role-playing. Okay, let's break now. Positive addiction is another way that a person gains strength. Probably a relatively minor way in terms of most of our lives, but a possibility, and one really worth investigating. It also has led to a lot of ideas about what negative addiction is and other things, all of which I talked about this morning. I'd also like to call your attention to the fact that if you can get a hold of the magazine Learning, the December magazine, in the lead article this month, I have an article on discipline. And it's really the application of the steps of reality therapy specifically to school discipline, although it would work equally well in home discipline, halfway house discipline, court discipline, juvenile hall discipline, institutional discipline. It stems from what we did at the Ventura School. And very simply, what you're trying to do when you help a person toward discipline is not to punish them, but to insist that they figure out a better way. Now, this doesn't usually work unless you have some kind of a positive relationship with the person. So just to mention briefly what you have to do if you want to achieve discipline in a school or an institution or in your home is you have to cease doing the things that don't work. Examine what you're doing from a discipline standpoint. And if they aren't working, stop them. Only do what seems to work. We tend to spin our wheels to do things that don't work. Then try each day with the person or persons that you're having difficulty with, try to relate to them in an extra positive way each day. Like if ordinarily you relate to them like this, then starting from then, give them a little extra, like say hello to them, shake their hand, say it's good to see you. If you're a teacher, and like I say, you bake cookies, bring a cookie and say to the kid, "Look, I was baking cookies and I thought about you," and just give them a cookie. This is a nasty little kid. But try and let this kid know, "Look, I really do care about you. I'm trying very much to get along with you." Then, when you start applying the steps of reality therapy to him and say, "Look, is what you're doing against the rules? Then we have to work out a better way," then the kid will listen to you and work with you. And then working out a better way are the steps of reality therapy. What are you doing? Let's make a plan. Let's work out a better way. Then if the child absolutely won't work out a better way under any circumstances, then you've got to separate him from whatever he's doing, which is if he's disrupting in a school classroom, you say, "You cannot be in this classroom any longer. You'll have to sit here." And let him sit there until he's willing to work out a better way. But don't be punitive. Don't yell at him. Say, look, we can't have you breaking our rules. You refuse to work out a better way, so the best we can offer you is to sit here in the office, on a bench, in the class. It's just for kids that sit there or something like that. In an institution, in some kind of an isolation room or off in the corner or something like that. Now, this is not punishment, because the child can leave that seat the moment he's willing to work with you and you're willing to help him to work out a better way. You're not angry at him, you don't yell at him, you don't threaten him, you just say, you must work out a better way. In other words, you reduce the alternatives from a series of alternatives that we have now with yelling at the kid, hitting him, punishing him, sending him home, calling his parents in, writing 400 times something or other, a series of ridiculous things down to just two. You either follow the rules or you're not part of the operation. And we have a good operation going. If you're running a good institution or a good school or a good home and you tell the kid you can enjoy this if you'll follow the rules, if not, you can't be part of it. You can just sit, and that's the best we can do for you. And the kid will say, how long do I sit? Until you're willing to work something out. If we're at fault, we'll work out what we have to do, but we've got to work something out. Only two alternatives, either be here or be over there. And as soon as you want to get away from over there where you're just sitting by yourself, figure out a way, we'll help you, and come back here. If schools, institutions, parents would do this firmly with their children from the time they get them, wherever they get them, they would have very, very few disciplinary problems. But you can't forget the first part. And that's what's so important. If you read the article, the first three steps, which are examine what you're doing, number one. Number two, if it doesn't work, stop it. There's no sense doing what doesn't work. Step number three, give the kid the time of day each day, some little extra that he ordinarily doesn't expect to signify that you do, to some degree, care about him. And then when you ask him to work a plan out, he'll be amenable to do it. And then if you work your head off and he won't work anything out, say, you can no longer be part of this place. He'll say, well, how long do I have to sit here? Until you're willing to come up with a plan. Well, what if I won't come up with a plan? Then you'll sit there for the rest of your life. If he's in an institution. And if it's in school, you'll sit there till June when school ends. And rigidly adhere to that and don't give in an inch. And if you're running a good place, he'll say, okay, let's work it out. Then you work it out, and that's the end of that problem. But if you give kids too many choices, and you're punitive, and you hurt him and hit him, none of which is implied in the step, he'll make all kinds of trouble because he enjoys playing the game. This removes all the game playing. You just say, enjoy us, enjoy our operation, do what you can here, we like having you, just follow our rules. Obviously, you should have reasonable rules. If your rules are unreasonable, then you check that out very easily by the fact that nobody's following them. If nobody's following the rule, it's unreasonable. If a few people are breaking a rule, it's reasonable, and those people have to change. Now, just briefly, I don't want to get deeply into discipline because I suggest you read the article where it's described. It's in Learning Magazine. It's in most of the libraries. You can Xerox it out of the magazine. But I'll entertain a few questions because I want to do a few more role plays while people are still here. Are there any questions about that? You understand the difference? Go ahead. Oh, as far as I know now, there's no way you can, in any organized sense, use the PA theory. Now, the transcendental meditators claim they'll come in your institution, teach everybody to meditate, but they'll charge you a lot of money, and it's a very tricky thing, and nothing may happen. Let me refine this theory and write a book about it, and I think there'll be some implications. But for the most part, I would say that this is available right now to the strong people, relatively strong, to make them stronger. A fellow that's willing to get out in the cold and run for a year on the faith that he's going to get something out of it has a real deep sense of strength anyway. The kinds of institutional people you work with ordinarily can't do anything for 2 days in a row without giving up. So, but you see, most everything that we've talked about, I'll just say one more thing, in therapy and everything else is so much of it's directed toward the weak and the inept. I think we ought to some degree say, well, maybe there's some ways for strong people to gain more strength and get more out of their life, and this is a way, possibly, that they could try. As I said, there's no possibility. If you run for a year and you never reach a positive addiction state, you'll still do an awful lot of good for yourself. There's no way that this can hurt you. The most you could lose is a few hours of your life, which most people have plenty of anyway. But I don't want people to leave here all steamed up about positive addiction. This is going to solve the world's problems, because it isn't. The people that it will help are people that don't give the world many problems right now anyway. Now, if there is a way to adapt this someday, as the concepts get out and as people think about them and use them, far more people than myself, maybe some ideas will occur. But I talked to the transcendental meditation people I'm very close to through this friend of mine that's the vice president. He said they've tried it in prisons, and it doesn't work very well. It just doesn't, that's all. And you would think it wouldn't. You'd think it wouldn't. If prisoners had the kind of discipline to discipline themselves to do something every day on a regular basis, they wouldn't be in prison. I mean, when you think about prisoners planning a crime like on Gangbusters, they take hours and plan every details of a crime like you see it in the movie, that isn't how it is at all. They decide, hell, let's try and rob a bank, you know. And they go in and they get stumbled, they shoot people. It's just a mess. It's unplanned totally. If there's any criminals in this country that are really planning their crimes, they ain't caught. We're not catching them. And even the people in Watergate that should have had some good sense were total stumblebums. You know, these people even had some good sense, you know. And still, you know, they weren't exactly what you call master criminals. And their defense is, we really didn't do it. Not a bad defense if you'll buy it. Or we didn't think we were doing anything wrong, or people always do it anyway. It's not you know, it sometimes works. I don't know what the jury's going to come up with. They may all give them medals and say you were doing good, and these people prosecuting you are no good. You never know. Juries are very funny people. So why do we have a fellow in a green coat here that was going to role play a character that a lot of you, I think, run into? Here he is. I got some questions here. I'll answer these toward the end. But I want to do a few more of these because want to tell us the name and the age and the sex and a little bit about why you'd be seeing this person. Not the name, I mean, just the first name, but the age and the sex.
Okay, the man's name is Dave.
Good, yeah.
20-year-old married man, been married since July 1973, has a 10-month-old child. And I'm a behavioral science specialist for the United States Army. Mm-hmm. He referred himself to me for help in solving a problem. And I referred him to a psychiatrist. I've only had one interview with him. And so I'd like you to play your role as a psychiatrist and how you would treat him through psychotherapy.
Okay, fine. So he'll just come in then.
Okay.
Okay, well, Dave, you were sent to me by the behavioral science specialist. He thought maybe you ought to see me. What's the story?
Well, I have this problem, Doctor, where I'm writing bad checks and I don't seem to be able to stop. It started about 6 months ago before I came into the Army.
What do you mean, it started?
Well, I started...
You started writing bad checks.
I started writing bad checks.
What do you mean? I heard you didn't quite get the word out. I heard the word compulsive. What do you mean compulsive?
Well, it started as a compulsion.
How do you know that?
I didn't plan it. I just started doing it because we needed the money for food. And so I just wrote out a check. But after that, I started planning to do it. And it made me feel good because I was getting away with it.
Mm-hmm. Then what happened?
I got caught.
How'd you feel then?
I felt kind of bad and guilty about it.
Well, you were guilty. You were stealing money.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's why I came here for help, because I
want to... You want me to make you feel better about stealing money?
No, I don't know why. I don't know why I'm doing it. I want to stop, but I don't know why I'm doing it.
You're doing it because you don't have enough money.
No, that's not it, because after I came in the Army, I had enough money. And I still continue to do it. I wrote like $2,000 worth
Well, there's a lot of thieves in this world that have a lot of money and still thieve. You know, there's a lot of people. You read about bankers taking money. They got plenty of money, but they still want some more. What's the difference to you and them? You want more than what you got, right?
That's right.
So why is that a psychiatric problem? A lot of people do.
Well, it's a problem because it's starting to affect my family, my wife.
Yeah, especially when you go to jail, it's going to have a hell of an effect on them.
Well, I haven't gone to jail yet.
You're on your way, though.
I didn't get caught until I got in the Army. And
what do you mean? The Army's keeping you out of jail?
Well, I agreed when my CO got all these letters, I agreed to start paying these people back. I wrote them letters and start paying them back so I wouldn't get kicked out of the Army or have to be put in a stockade. But I don't know how long I can go without writing a bad check.
Well, we'll find out.
I've torn up all the checks that I have, but my wife has still got an account, and if I wanted to, I could write a check forging her name.
Forging her name, huh? Well, that was probably a good move. Well, what is your plan? That's a good idea. Your plan is to not carry any checks? That sounds good.
Yes.
So then what's the problem if you don't have
any
checks?
When I get mad, like the other day, I got a $40 gas bill from my landlady, and I thought it was too high because there was a leak in the furnace, and she didn't take care of it. So I got mad, and I started to get books and plan a bank robbery. I was going to go rob a bank because I was so mad.
Well, that's more than writing bad checks.
So I say I don't know why I do it.
You were going to get books to rob? Is there books on how to rob a bank?
Yeah.
There are?
Some of the famous bank robberies is books on.
You mean like Willie the Actor Sutton and people like that?
The big bank robbery in England, or a train robbery in England.
They didn't rob a bank, they robbed a train.
They robbed a train.
You want to stop this?
Yes, that's why I'm here. I'd like to stop, but I don't think I can do it on my own.
Well, in other words, you think it's a psychological problem.
That's right.
You mean that you want more and you're willing to do illegal things, huh?
No, I don't want to do illegal things because I...
You're planning to rob a bank. Why don't you get this cord out? Maybe this is doing it or something. Okay. Oh, you're breathing into it. I'm not going to ask you to stop breathing, but not into the mic. You're still breathing into it. Okay. Here, just hold it away from me a little bit. That's good. Okay. Well, you're willing to see a psychiatrist?
Yes, that's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm. How long are you willing to come?
As long as it takes to maybe stop writing bad checks, doing things I don't want to do to hurt other people.
Well, what's your, how did you handle that landlady thing? Let me get kind of a picture. Did you rob the bank?
No, I didn't.
What stopped you?
My wife.
How'd she stop you? Did you tell her about it?
I told her I was planning to do it.
Mm-hmm. What'd she say?
She said I'd probably end up in jail if I did it.
If you got caught, yeah.
If I got caught.
And is that idea completely out of your mind now?
Not entirely. If I get mad again, I might really go ahead and do it.
In other words, are you saying if you get angry or frustrated, you'll commit a crime? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, there's no way you can live in this world without getting angry and frustrated that I know of. Can you figure a way to live without getting angry or frustrated?
No.
So, if you commit a crime, you're going to get caught. Maybe you're looking to go to jail. Maybe that'll solve your problems for you. You don't have to work in jail. You can just kind of relax, and they'll take care of you.
I may not get caught, though.
They'll catch you eventually.
For 6 months, I wrote bad checks. Some of them still haven't caught up to me.
Well, but they got you eventually.
it feel good to get away. You know, I got away with it. I put something on.
Always makes a criminal feel good to get away with his crimes. Otherwise, you know, it wouldn't be no sense of committing crime if it made you feel lousy. This is why people commit crime, because it makes them feel good. But if you get caught, like you did, I don't understand. You went before the judge, and the judge just said that he accepted your plea that you're sorry?
No, I haven't been before a judge.
How did you get away from that? You just arranged with the people to pay him back?
People wrote letters. They traced me to where I'm stationed, and they wrote letters to my CO saying that I'd written these bad checks. So I just agreed to pay the money back, and they're not pressing charges as long as I pay the money back.
How much do you pay back every month?
I've paid back $700 of the $2,000 so far.
Now you're making, what do you pay, about $100 a month or so?
Yes.
Well, people are pretty nice then, leave it go. But you still got these criminal thoughts hitting your mind, huh?
That's right.
And you say you get angry and you're going to... I mean, I don't understand the connection between getting angry and robbing a bank. I could see where if you get angry... You know, you hit somebody or get drunk. But what do you think is going on? You want to rob a bank?
Well, I guess I want to get back at people because I feel I had a lousy childhood.
Well, how do you get back at people by robbing a bank? I don't understand that. You don't steal the people's money. That's all insured.
No,
you know, you just go to jail. That's all that happens.
If I get away with it, I'd put something over on him.
Possibly. Well, is your life lousy right now? I mean, maybe you did have a bad childhood. It's possible.
Not right now. I guess.
What's good about your life right now?
Oh, I love my wife, my little boy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's why I came in here, because I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to end up in jail.
They would be hurt if you were in jail, definitely, yeah. Well, you're planning any crimes right now? You got anything going through your mind right now? Because I think what we'll have to do is figure out a way for you to stop planning crime.
Well, right now I don't.
You're planning to do anything that you think is good? I mean, you do anything for enjoyment? Any kind of a thing you look forward to?
Yeah, I like to go to movies.
You play with your kid? Do you take your kid out and play with him and stuff?
Yeah, I like to play with my boy.
Would you say your life is fairly satisfactory right now? Except for this criminal ideas?
Yeah, I guess I'd say so.
Are you doing anything right now that's wrong? I mean, right now. I mean, this last day or two. Are you writing any more bad checks? Are you doing anything to hurt anybody or hurt yourself?
No, not right now.
For the past week, have you been clean of things, would you say?
Yes.
Well, this is a Friday, and I'll see you once a week. What could you do between now and next Friday to stay clean of any problem? Is there anything that you can think of that you could absolutely do? I know frustrations might come along and things like that.
Well, there's one other problem I haven't mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I'm also smoking pot.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like I can't go to sleep at night unless I smoke some marijuana.
Do you think the marijuana makes you rob banks or stuff like that, or you don't think they have anything to do with each other?
I don't know. I'm a nervous person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid I might have a nervous breakdown. My father had one, and my grandfather had one after they were in the
army. Well, what's wrong with smoking a little marijuana before you go to bed? Is that something is that the wrong thing to do or something?
Well, it's illegal. I'm afraid I might get caught.
65% of the soldiers on the base smoke a cigarette before they go to bed. You'd be in the minority if you stopped it. You could get caught, that's true. What's the penalty for getting caught with a marijuana cigarette? Is they get thrown out of the army or something like that?
You could.
Well, I got a feeling between the two problems, robbing banks is a bigger problem. And what I'd like to do is just work on that one. And when we get that all solved, then we'll work on the marijuana problem. I think one thing at a time is better.
Okay.
So I kind of got a little picture of you here. Things are settling down. You're a nervous person, but you're happy with your wife and kid. What kind of a job do you do in the Army? Are you doing a satisfactory job?
Yeah, I work flight operations out of Bushfield.
You got a satisfactory rating? I mean, when you're reviewed?
Yes.
You don't spend stockade time or anything like that?
No.
In other words, passing checks, that was really out of the Army, wasn't it?
I wrote a few after I came in the Army, too.
But I mean is, you don't like steal supplies from the air base?
No.
And rip off the gasoline from the planes and things like that?
No.
In other words, there's no danger of you getting into trouble. You're doing a good job on your Army job, is what you're saying. That isn't a problem.
No.
Okay, well, why don't we work it this way? I've seen you now, I've got to know you a little bit. If any time during this week, between now and next Friday, a thought crosses your mind that you're going to commit a crime, then give me a call. And next Friday, we'll go over all the times you thought about committing a crime this week and see if we can work out this problem. But every time the thought crosses you, just give me a little call and tell me you had a thought, and we'll mark the day and the time and then keep a little record of it. Next Friday, we'll run through all these thoughts and see how we can handle it. Now, if you commit a crime between now and next Friday, and you're in jail, they're not going to see you. So it's up to you to, you know, you spent last week without committing a crime. I figure you could spend another week. And then we'll go from week to week, okay?
Okay, that
but,
sounds good.
But if, you know, if like Tuesday night you say, man, I'm going to have to pass a check tomorrow, give me a call, tell me I got urged to pass a check Tuesday night, and we'll have to talk about that on Friday. And then we'll kind of keep track of that, okay? And I think that we get you some help that way. And as far as the marijuana smoking, we get all this criminal activity solved, then we'll work on the marijuana if you still want to, okay?
Okay, thank you,
okay,
Doctor.
Okay, good, okay, right. All right. There's a man named here named it could be a girl, Merle Rosenzweig. Yeah, Merle. Do not leave until you get a phone call. It will be at 3 o'clock. Right. You got to get your bets down by 3 o'clock, Merle. All right. Now, any questions about that? I mean, this man, I didn't, I mean, what I was trying to show you is don't get too involved in his psychological rationalization of his criminal activity. On the other hand, he's willing to work on it. He wants some help, so work right in the problem. And I said honestly that I think that the marijuana problem, that's some kind of a less important, really, than robbing banks and passing bad checks. And so I would work on that first. And then I just made a little plan, that's all. I didn't want to see him every time, but I figure if he can call me every time he gets this urge and I can note it, then if he knows he can come in on Friday and talk about all these things, he won't do them. I really believe that that'd probably work. A question up here? Well, I would also tell him just to call the office and leave a message with the office that I would just say in that case, I'm having my problem and it occurred Tuesday night at 10. He doesn't have to tell people what it is. And then I'll note it in the morning or something like that. Now, this calling probably would be very infrequent. But the fact that I tell him this, and then after a few weeks, I'll say, well, now you're holding out okay. Now just keep a note, keep a little diary of your own, and I'll just talk to you the next week about it. But I really don't want him to commit a crime during this week, because he really sounds like he wants to get some help. And so I think that what I'm really doing is extending the involvement into some little activity, but I'm not seeing him like every moment, because realistically, maybe in the Army, if I was a psychiatrist, I've never been a psychiatrist in the Army, probably with a problem like this, I could see him once a week. Probably I could, but I don't think I could see him every day. I don't know what the workload is of an Army psychiatrist, but my own tendency is to see people about once a week, so that's what I kind of work toward. Any other question? Yes, Well, any crime. Yeah. Yeah, I think that initially I'll kind of devote myself to kind of keeping him out of jail so I can see him. And then if that kind of calms down, once we have a relationship and he believes that here's a man that cares about me, then I'll begin to look into other problems in his life which are more mundane but certainly could be causing the anger and the upset, which is perhaps coming out in this way. And also looking into things he could do to make his life a little more exciting, perhaps. I think that a lot of this is excitement, the feeling I've done something. Maybe there's some things he could do legally which would give him a little more excitement than just maybe going to a moving picture show or something like that. But this is how I would start in. This was the man that played this man defined it as this is the first time that you'd be seeing him. But I'd keep that in mind, and within a very few sessions we'd be into that. But I'd want to keep pretty much down on the criminal activity until I have some confidence he's going to keep that under control. And I think he needs this kind of very concrete insistence that he watch that. I concern myself more as time goes on with behavior, and if he wants to talk about the feelings that accompany the behavior, that's fine, but I want to always tie feelings to behavior, not just talk about them in isolation. And if we can help him to behave better, then I think it can help him to feel better. That's the theory that I operate under. If I just talk about how he feels, I find that to be less satisfactory. I can't really put my finger on what to do about a fellow's feelings. But if his feelings, like, as he said to me, I get angry and I want to rob a bank, that's a very definite behavior that we could work on. Later on he says to me, look, I get angry and I don't know how to handle it, then let's talk about what he could do to handle it, how he could get rid of it. He's not robbing banks anymore, but he's just frustrated. And he's saying he handles the nervousness through marijuana, which maybe does to some extent, like, handles the nervousness, but I'm not going to get into that right away because he's kind of worked that out, and I'm not going to bother with that right off the bat. See, I'm not convinced that people who smoke marijuana are psychologically aberrant. I just don't believe that would be the case any more than everyone that drinks is psychologically aberrant. I mean, some people enjoy marijuana and they smoke it. It happens to be illegal, and I would encourage people not to smoke it, but it's not in most cases it's probably not a terrible thing to do to yourself and say like some other things. I wouldn't get all steamed up about that. But robbing banks, that's a bad one. Yeah. Well, then I would ask him to whom he passed it, and I'd say he's got to straighten it out. I mean, we've got to get involved with the law then. My contract with him is not to condone criminal activity or be knowledgeable to it. I would not turn him over to the police. He'd have to do that himself or go call the bad check person and straighten it out. But if he refused to straighten it out, then I would not see him anymore. And he'd have to handle it on his own. I don't turn people over to the police. That's not my job. But I will not see them and be knowledgeable to criminal activity on any ongoing basis without them making some attempt to do the right thing, whatever that happens to be. It's a very firm rule that I have. I'm not going to have him writing a whole string of bad checks and coming and telling me how he feels about it. And then have the thing come out, and you were seeing a psychiatrist that he know about. Well, what kind of a fool you been seeing? You know, I mean, that's ridiculous. There's nothing in therapy that says you have to be a part and parcel of law breaking. And when you're privy to a crime, you're part of the crime. I mean, that's what the Watergate people are finding out. You have an obligation to do something about it. Now, I don't have an obligation to go to the police any more than if a friend of mine told me that he was in a crime, I wouldn't turn him over to the police, but I'd say, look, you got to do something about it if you want to remain my friend. Otherwise, I can't be friends with you anymore. I mean, that's the way I work things out morally. Whether that's right or not, I don't know, but I got to tell you what I do. There's another question in the back there, yes. we had more time, I'd probably go into a lot more of his life here and talk about him, but I don't want to waste the whole group's time and all the involvement activities that I do. I want to get down to the nitty-gritty to show you, ultimately, assuming I can make friends with him, which I think I can, he's really coming for help, then this is the nitty-gritty of what we talk about. It's just that, I don't come to Georgia that long. When the afternoon's running out, I don't want to spend a half an hour of your time saying, you know, what do you like to do? Do you like to rowboat or this kind of stuff? All of which, during the hour, I might do, but you'll have to assume that I could do that. I spent some time with it yesterday in some cases, but I assume that I have that skill, and I assume that you have that skill, but I also want to show you how you handle some of the actual problem, too, because I think that's where the questions are. I mean, I saw this man maybe 10 minutes. If I had an hour, we would take more time, but I wouldn't talk much more than that about his crime, because that's enough. I don't want to build it up to such a big deal that he thinks he's got to commit a crime every week, so I'll talk to him. And that's another tricky thing about what I was doing, and if I found that to be going on, then it'd be different. But I don't think that'll happen with a crime. Yeah. How do you deal with someone that's out of touch with their feelings, their defenses of built up so they really don't know how they feel? Well, I don't believe people are out of touch with their feelings. I think they just claim they are. And so I would just confront them and say, you know, I believe you do know how you feel. And in a gentle way, and say, look, you know, it's okay here. Let's talk about how you feel, but let's not divorce it from what you're doing. It's very important to keep feelings and behavior tied together. Because if people can untie them, like he was attempting to do. He was attempting to untie them by saying, I had a miserable childhood, doctor. I'm really a poor, emotionally disturbed young man. And so that's why I robbed banks. Now, if I verify that, then he can rationalize crime on the basis that he's had a miserable childhood. Well, everybody here has had a miserable childhood, and everybody here has had a good childhood. You know, there's all kinds of, if you want to pick into your whole childhood, you can find bad days and good days. So I don't want to go into that a great deal. I want to stick to what's going on now. Why don't we go ahead and you tell us a little bit about this person.
Okay.
Is it a he or a she? We'll play a she then. That's fine.
Okay.
That's great.
I'm 26, and I have been brought in to the emergency room.
Good, good. Can you hear her?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's tough to speak up.
All right. Okay, I'm on drugs. I'm on mescaline and cocaine and marijuana.
But I don't know that.
You don't?
How would I know it? Could I tell by looking at someone that comes in crazy that they're on drugs?
All right, you don't know that.
Well, how would I know it? I would assume I wouldn't know it, but that won't bother me any. No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right.
You come in the emergency room crazy.
Yeah. Okay. I'm walking around.
No, you got
to
make it.
I have to hold it like this?
Something, either that or talk louder, one or the other.
Okay. I'm a little nervous.
That's all right.
Okay. All right. I'm walking around. You want me to walk around, or you want me to just tell you I'm walking?
Well, you got rope there. You can walk around.
Okay.
26-year-old female that comes in kind of crazy to a hospital emergency ward, and they call the psychiatrist because they see, they make the diagnosis that she's nuts.
Okay. But Jesus saves. Our Father, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Our Father, who art in heaven.
What's your name?
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Mary?
Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those who are.
Mary?
Our Father, who art in heaven.
Do you know where you are?
I'm in heaven.
No, you're not. You're in the emergency room of the... No, truthfully. You're in the emergency room of a hospital, and I'm a psychiatrist, and they called me down here because they said you're acting crazy.
I came to help these people. I came to save these people.
Oh, that's crazy.
I came to save these people.
Can you tell me a little bit about what's going on?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm Jesus. I came to save you.
That's okay, but tell me what's happening.
I'm here. I'm here. I'm
we know you're here.
I'm coming to save the people.
You're talking crazy, though, and we're going to have to lock you up.
Who are you? What are you here for? Can I help you, sir?
I'm the psychiatrist, and I'm about to lock you up. Because right now...
You can't lock me up.
Well, I'm not going to make
a... God will strike you down dead.
I'm not going to make a bet about it, but the point I'm saying is, before I lock you up, have you been taking any kind of stuff lately? Because sometimes when people come in real crazy like this, they've been taking stuff.
I do lots of things.
What do you take?
It's none of your business.
Well, you're in the hospital now, and it is my business.
But I'm coming here to save you.
Besides, if you know, if you're God, what's the difference? Just tell me.
What are you going to do to me?
Lock you up.
Why? I haven't done anything. I came to save
you. No, you don't have to do anything. If you're crazy, that's enough. But I want to know if you're taking anything so that we can give you some antidotes.
Yeah, I had some grass. I had some
grass. Grass don't make you this crazy. What else you been taking? Just turn around here so I can see you. Now look.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. I'm going to save the world. I'm going to save the world.
Besides grass, what have you been taking? You're not so crazy that you don't understand what I'm saying. And I'm asking you, have you been taking anything like LSD or something like that? Because the people that brought you in say this came on very suddenly.
God touched me.
That's okay. But did he write out a prescription? That's what I'm looking at. Because what you've been taking, I don't usually prescribe.
I'm going to go marry. I'm going to go find Mary.
Mary, that's you. You looking for yourself?
Oh, I forgot. I'm going to go find Jesus. I'm going to go marry him.
Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to give you into your vein here.
You're not going to touch me.
Oh, yes, we are.
You have to have me sign something. I'm not going to sign anything.
Is that so?
Yes.
How do you know you got to sign something before we can stick you with something?
They told me you did. I know.
Well, that's good. That's right. We can't stick you unless you sign something.
That's right.
And you're not going to sign anything?
No.
Well, then we can't help you as much as if we could give you some medicine.
I don't want your help. I came to help you.
We can lock you up, though, without your signing something, because your mother already signed something.
No, you don't even know who my mother is. My mother doesn't know where I am.
Well, somebody brought you in. And if nobody brought you in, I can put you in on my own say-so, because I'm a psychiatrist and you're nuts. I can put you in for... for 24 hours on my own say-so, and 48 hours in some states. And I'm willing to do it. Now, if you'll tell me what you've been taking, and you'll tell me, then I might be able to give you some medicine that'll make you feel a lot less crazy. But I won't give it to you unless you'll sign.
I took some mescaline.
Mescaline. Well, there's nothing I can give you for that. Just drink some coffee.
I told you what I want. Let me go. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm not helping you any at all. I want to go out to people that need help.
Well, we'll keep you around for about 24 hours, and I got a feeling you probably will be ready to go.
No. You tell me you weren't going to keep me here if I told you I was on.
No, I didn't say that. I said that I could understand you better. We'll put you up on a nice ward where it's all locked up tight.
No, I'm not going to be locked up. I can't be locked up. No.
And you can rest for about 24 hours, then we'll talk to you again. I think you need a rest. I think you got yourself a little worked up. Now, are you going to go quietly, or do we have to get 16 guys to take you? Because I'm through talking to you.
They can't touch me.
No, they ain't going to touch you. They're just going to take you. I mean. Okay, well, here, 16 guys, and off you go. Mm-hmm. I don't think I talked to you this long, but... See, there's an old axiom an old psychiatrist taught me when I was young and learning this business. You never talk to anyone that's nuts. And, and if you lock them up and they calm down in about 24 hours, then they're not so crazy. And if they've had medication of any kind, it'll kind of wear through them, give them some coffee and some water and some food. Usually they need food and they'll eat. All this will help them metabolize whatever's in them. And in 24 hours, you explain to them what happened. And you say, you know, what can we do now? But you don't spend more than 5 or 6 minutes initially, assuming the person isn't in danger of dying. I mean, if a person comes in with a DTs or something like that, you have to give them something. Got to give them something, or they may die on you. But this person's just crazy. And so we'll just ascertain that they are. And then if you've got a locked ward, lock them up nicely for about 24 hours and see them again, and usually they're better. If it's a drug thing, undoubtedly they're better. If it's not a drug thing, then you have to ascertain who they are. You can't let a person like this wander the street, could get killed. So with an acutely psychotic person, you lock them up in a nice place and see them in 24 hours. And tell the people who are on the ward not to talk much to them for the 24 hours. Just kind of let them be, tell them to rest, relax, they're in good hands, you know, and then talk to him again, or have someone that's up there. Maybe that's not your job, but someone talk to him. It's not a complicated thing. Don't make a big deal out of it. Are there any questions about that? Brandon? Go ahead, Brandon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. There is such a thing as that. He's talking about confidentiality. Go ahead, and I'll repeat the question in a minute. Go ahead. Well, in terms of just a basic question on confidentiality, you keep what the person says to you confidential unless it's law-breaking, and then you give them a chance to talk about it. Let's say that they're not in trouble. Now, if they're in probation or parole, then it's no longer confidential. When a probation or parolee, a ward of the court, breaks the law, that's no more confidentiality. But... if a man comes in off the street and says, look, I've written 15 or 20 bad checks and I'm worried about it, but nothing's happened so far, it's not up to you to call the police or anything like that. If a person says to you, will you keep what I say confidential, then I have two statements to that. I really don't have two statements to that. But there are kind of variations on the same statement, which is, if a person comes into my private office and I don't know the person or anything about him, as I usually don't, and they say, will you keep what we say confidential, I'll say, within reason, I'll say something like that, you know. But, you know, if they tell me they just murdered their father and they're about to kill their mother, I mean, I don't care, I'm going to do something about it. Or I'm at least investigate, is it true? I'm going to make a phone call or something. If they say, I'm thinking of changing jobs and I don't want my boss to know about it because it'll hurt me, well, of course, that's totally something that's no reason to anyone to say anything about it. Where the lives of nobody else or the property of nobody else is endangered, then there's certainly no reason to break it. But I've often been in this situation, which would be similar to your situation, working in a juvenile correctional or facility. A kid says, look, I'm going to tell you something, but I won't tell it to you unless you'll promise to keep it quiet. I've had this happen to me countless times. And my answer to that is always, then don't tell it to me. because I will not promise to keep it quiet. It may be something I can't keep quiet. Therefore, if you don't tell it to me, then there's no problem. But if you tell it to me, I will not give you that promise. Under those circumstances, I've never had anyone not tell it to me. But then I'm free to tell the information to whomever I feel should know it. And sometimes somebody should know it. Like in the institution, the kid says, I know that where a knife is. Well, you don't want a knife floating around an institution, and I'm not going to keep that quiet. I'm going to go find the knife or have it found. But if she had bound me beforehand to confidentiality and I got suckered into that play, then when I go find the knife, which I still would, I've broken my promise, which doesn't do well in the therapeutic relationship. So I don't make promises to people that are in trouble of confidentiality. I just don't make them. But I give them the option of not telling me. I say, look, there's lots we can talk about without you telling me that. Well, they never can do that because that's what's on their mind. But that's not my problem. That's their problem. But I mean, otherwise, you get yourself in a very bad bind. The same with a school counselor. And the kid says, look, I want to tell you something absolute confidence. Say, I'm sorry, if it's got to be absolute confidence, this I can't guarantee since I don't know what it is. And be very careful about saying absolute confidence. Now, if you're a lawyer, that's a different story. But then that's a different story. But this is how I handle it. Now, other doctors would disagree with me. Other doctors would say, nope, you have a doctor-patient relationship, and what that person tells you is sacrosanct. I don't happen to believe that. But it is sacrosanct if I tell them it's sacrosanct. Then it is, so I don't tell them that. Are there any questions about that, or anybody have a problem with that? It's a tricky point, and I am glad that Brandon raised it. Because you're much better off, in my opinion, to do as I say from my experience. Now, you may have other experience, in which case, yes, go ahead. No, an alcoholic be different because it's not a law-breaking thing. Somebody was asking if I would work with them. You want to play an alcoholic? Yeah, why don't you give it a try? Because some of you do deal with alcoholics, and it's a little different thing. You see, there's no legal. And also, play an alcoholic that's not in trouble with the law. Okay, so there's no law thing here at all. Snab that microphone off that thing there.
You want to play an alcoholic in a VA hospital? They're the best kind.
Yeah, an alcoholic in a VA hospital, but not in trouble with the law.
Okay.
Can you tell us his age and a little bit about the person?
About 45 years old. He's about to be dropped from the vocational rehabilitation caseload because of his chronic drinking, and he doesn't believe he has a problem.
What's he doing in the VA hospital? Is he sick?
Well, you could say he's sick. He doesn't have anywhere else to go. He's broken out. He's receiving VA benefits.
Is he in the hospital, or is he in the veterans' domiciliary next to the hospital?
Closer to the domiciliary,
he's
receiving
not
medical treatment.
All right, and he's got. Is he a VA? Is he getting VA for some service-connected disability?
Non-service-connected disability.
Non-service-connected. What's that? That 140 a month or 170 a month or something?
I believe it's about 180.
Yeah, it's gone up. Okay. And what's your job?
Well, I was going to let.
No, I mean, what? No, what's your job? In other words, who would I be in seeing him? Would I be a doctor? Would I be a nurse? I mean, who would I be?
It would be you. If I could send this guy to you, I'd like to see what you would do with him.
Oh, I see. I'd be maybe a doctor working for the VA that comes in there. All right. And did he enroll in this vocational rehab program on his own, or was he shoved into it?
No, he enrolled on his own.
And he's not fulfilled the terms of the program, is that it?
Well, he's doing good in classes when he's not drinking.
Oh, I see. When he doesn't drink, he does all right. Oh, okay, fine. And what's his name? Just give me. John?
Claude,
all right, fine. Well, Claude, they called me in on this case because they think you got a real serious drinking problem.
I don't have no drinking problem. I can put down a fifth of liquor with no problem inside of 5 minutes and not even feel it. And put another one down beside that and just walk on like nothing happened. Doesn't faze me in the least.
What do you drink for if it doesn't faze you? Most people drink because they want to get fazed.
Well, it makes me feel good, but it, you know, otherwise it's okay. It doesn't bother anything I do, and, you know.
How much do you drink, Claude, on an average, so I get a picture here? You're talking about drinking two-fifths a day, side by side?
Well.
That's a lot of money. Do you have that kind of money? Or do you buy a bootleg?
Well, VA gives me, you know, $180 a month.
Well, how much of that do you spend on liquor? That would give me an accurate picture.
Well, most all of it.
Uh-huh. What do you drink? What's your favorite drink? Do you have a favorite?
Vodka.
Vodka? Just plain, or do you drink it in grapefruit juice, or?
No, just plain vodka.
Okay, and you're spending about $180 a month on vodka, so you're talking about 30, 40 bottles a month. We're talking about a bottle a day, roughly, huh?
Well, it goes in sprees. Like, sometime I can go for, one time I've gone as long as 6 months without touching a drop.
But that hasn't been recently.
That was about a year ago.
How long has it been since you were last drinking a quart of vodka? Today is Friday. When did you last drink a quart?
Last weekend.
Last weekend. Did you go to class during the week?
Once.
Well, if it doesn't bother you and it doesn't faze you and you do well in class, I've heard, why don't you attend class more often?
Well, I don't like the way the teacher does things.
But you're doing well. I mean, can you and I change the teacher? Do you want to drop the class? If you want to drop it, just say so. We got plenty of guys ready to take your place in that class.
Well, I don't want to really drop it, but they put me on restrictions.
Well, sure they did, because you don't attend regular. They claim it's your drinking. You don't claim it's your drinking.
Why
I don't.
Am I drinking? My
fine,
drinking.
I don't. Who am I to argue with you? I don't argue with you. I just wonder if you want to go to class or you're going to go to class.
Yeah, I'll go to class if they'll ever let me off restriction. Every time I turn around, the bastards will grab me and throw me in my room on restriction. I can't do a darn thing. I can do good in class if they'll let me go. They just won't let me go. And
teacher says you came to class drunk.
I didn't come to class drunk. I wasn't drunk.
She said it was under the influence.
I might have had one little drink, but I wasn't drunk. I wasn't bothering nobody.
Well, she can't have anybody in the class that's under the influence of alcohol. See, that's the problem.
Well, if I wasn't under the influence of alcohol.
No, I'm not going to argue with you. She's the one who threw you out.
Well,
doesn't matter whether you were or you weren't. She said you were, see, and she's the boss.
Well, what does she know?
She knew enough to throw you out.
Yeah, well, that just proves that she's, you know, she's stupid and she doesn't know what she's doing anyway. You drink, she drinks. She even told me she drinks sometimes. You know, what's the difference if I drink and she drinks? If they let me go to class...
She don't drink when she's teaching class.
Well, so I don't drink when I'm teaching class either.
You're not teaching class, you're attending the class.
Yeah, well, I'd attend it more if they let me go, too.
Well, we got a problem.
They got a problem. I don't have any problem. I'd make it to class if they let me off of that ward. And, you know, they didn't even catch me with the bottle. I didn't have any bottle on me. I didn't have
We don't have to catch you, Claude. We don't have to catch you. Well, what you're saying is you want to get out of this whole situation, huh?
Well, I want them to quit hassling me.
Because, you know, you got this VA pension. Now, that pension don't go to drinking. That pension is for a non-service-connected disability, but alcohol isn't one of them.
Well, I don't spend that much of my pension on drinking.
You told me you spend most of it on drinking. Just told me that. You're lying to me?
Well, it goes for other things, too.
Well, $180 don't go that far. I understand that, but I'd be willing to take your pension away from you. I'd be willing to work at it.
They couldn't do that.
There's
no way you can take
I've done it before. I've done it. And that's the truth.
You can take a person's pension?
Sure, if they're drinking. The government doesn't have to pay you to be drunk.
You know, look at that whole third floor up there. You know,
I'm working on...
come down like water, you know, when it's, you know, on Sunday.
Well, I'm only worried about you right now, Claude.
Well, if you take my pension, you take theirs too.
I'll work on it. But I decided to start with you.
Well, why pick me, you know?
I don't know why I picked you. I mean, it just happened. That's always one of those things.
Joe Blow can drink a gallon, and he does it every night. Not, you know, I drink, you know, maybe a fifth a week, maybe. You know, everybody drinks. And look at him. He's always sick. He's not even trying to do anything for himself.
You're in this VA hospital. You're sucking on the government tit for $180 a month, right?
Well, so is everybody else. I mean, I serve my time in the service. I mean, I got a bum leg. I got a machine gun hole right
through. You didn't get any pension for your bum leg. You got a non-service-connected disability, and you're a heavy drinker. And I'm telling you
that
unless you're willing to do something about it, I'm going to cut your pension off. You can go to the VA, you can go to the American Legion, go to the Veterans and Knee Surgery, whoever you want to go to.
Shoot. They tried to cut off that whole third floor pension up there, and they couldn't do it. You doctors aren't connected with the VA, and you don't have all that power, so don't give me all that stuff. I've seen doctors before try to cut off pensions, and they can't do it. Half the third floor, the doctors threatened to cut off their pension, they couldn't do it?
Maybe we can.
Well, I'm willing to bet that you could.
I realize that's your bet, but what if you lose? If you lose, you lost your pension. If you want to keep your pension, then you got to stop drinking when you're on government money. Now, I'm willing to offer you a program to stop drinking. We'll give you a rehab program to get a better job. We'll do all these things for you. But we ain't going to do shit for you if you keep drinking.
Well, drinking's no problem. How many times do I have to tell you? Drinking is not my problem. It's those guys that keep locking me up on that goddamn ward and won't leave me alone and keep hassling me.
We're going to stop that. When we get rid of your pension, we're going to throw you out the door.
I'll just go right around the front door and be readmitted. If I apply, you can't throw me out. You'd have to readmit me right again.
I'll
come around the front door and get in again.
But we're going to lock you up. You want to be locked? You'd rather be locked up than be free?
It's against the law to lock me up. You can't lock me up. I'm not a prisoner here. I'm not a patient. I'm in a domiciliary.
Well, we got you locked up on that ward now, except when we let you go to see me. Because you've been drinking.
Well, you can't lock me up forever, and I wasn't drinking anyway.
Well, that's what we're going to do to you. So what's your plan?
I don't believe you can do that. I just don't believe. You haven't done it to anybody else. If you do it to me, it's going to be a first.
There's always a first.
I think you just bluff.
I mean, I got this form all filled out. We got a record of you're not going to class, reporting drunk to class, reporting drunk here in the domiciliary. And we're going to cut it off. And we're going to throw you out. Unless you've been... get into some kind of, we got a good program here to stop people from drinking or to get them so they can go to class. Like I say, if you go to class regularly and you pay attention and you're not drunk, then I don't care about your drinking. But your drinking has interfered with your going to class, and this is an expensive program, and you got involved in it, and you're going to either do it or you're not going
to
do it.
How many times do I have to tell you, it's not my drinking, it's those guys that lock me up upstairs. I would go to class if they would let me. And I know that you and the VA are not connected. You're a doctor for the hospital, and you're not connected with VA, and I'm positive you can't...
I'm a citizen. I'm a citizen. You're stealing my money. I pay taxes.
Oh. I don't think I'm stealing your money.
Sure you are.
As much right to it as anybody else up on that ward.
They're all stealing it.
Well, go hassle them. They're stealing 180 times as much as I am.
Well, I'm going to hassle you. If I get a chance, I'll hassle them too. But see, you're the one I got called in on. Now, do you want to make a plan to go to class or don't you?
I'll go to class. Yeah.
Will you go to class regularly?
Yeah, I'll go to class regularly. You just let them tell them to get me off restriction. I'll go every day.
Will you go to class completely without any alcohol in you?
Yeah, anything you say.
Will you sign a statement to that effect?
I'll sign anything you want.
Well, that sounds pretty good. How come you're so motivated to get all this reform? I'm appreciative of it.
I'm glad.
Now, what happens if you go to class drunk? I want you to understand what you're getting into here. If you're under the influence or you miss class, then we're going to throw you out. We're going to put a big star on your record so they don't let you back in, and we're going to work on getting rid of your pension. We're going to do all those things for you.
I don't believe you can do that in the first place.
Well, what do you think? It's better to go to class and stay drinking, or it's better to take a chance that we can and we can't? You said you're willing to give class a try. It's not that I'm asking you to do anything that you're not willing to do. I just want you to know that we're very, very serious about this.
Well, I tried stopping drinking before, and I couldn't do it.
Well, how about, let me change the subject just a minute. How about joining the hospital AA unit?
I went there, and all they do, who wants to listen to them talk about drinking? You get done listening to them talk about drinking all day, and you, first thing, last time I was there, I ran out to the bar after I heard them talking about drinking all day.
Yeah, but how long?
That happens.
But how long are you willing to stick with the AA? You went one or two meetings. Are you willing to stick with it for a period of time? I can't force you to this. I'm just asking you this as a friend.
Well, who wants to listen to all these other guys' problems? I got enough of my own problems. Sit there and listen to those big mouths up there talk about how much they drink and brag about it. I don't want to listen to that junk.
That's all they do in the AA meeting?
They bring them up, and, one guy gets up there so drunk he looks like for a nickel, he'd take a drink right up there on the stage.
They probably would. But maybe he's sticking in the program, and maybe he'll get some help.
Yeah.
You didn't stick in the program.
I doubt it. Joe Blow, he went over there last week, and he was one of their
students,
and he was drunk this week.
They don't help everybody, but they help a lot of people.
Well, I'll tell you
what. Let me ask you just something frankly. Don't you think you'd be better off like you were that time you stayed off 6 months? Weren't you better off than you are now? Just let me ask you that as a friend.
Yeah, but I can't do that all the time.
All right, you can't do it, so you need some help, right?
Yeah.
I don't like to sit here threatening you. But, it aggravates me that a man that needs help, and we're offering him help, he's doing so much filibustering here. Why don't you give this thing a try? You didn't make it by yourself.
You threatened to take away my VA disability?
Well, you're damn tootin'.
Shoot, when I get out of here, I'm going out and I can get so drunk.
Well, I know you can do that. I'm offering you a better plan. Why don't you join the AA unit here so that you don't...
I've been in it. Look what you did to me. Look at my nerves now. As soon as I leave this office, I'm going to go out and get drunk.
Well, you could, but you could also go up to the meeting tonight.
I tell you, I've been to those meetings.
I know, but you never stayed more than two meetings. I want you to go for a long period of time, regular, every day.
Well, I don't think it's going to do any good. It's just a waste of time.
It's a waste of time if you don't intend to stop drinking. It's not if you intend to stop.
Well, my drinking isn't that much of a problem.
So here we are, huh? We got to go through all this hassle now.
Let's say I'm an alcoholic. Tell me this. Could an alcoholic drink a whole fifth of liquor and still walk around it doesn't even faze me?
I don't know. All I know is you went to class intoxicated, and when anyone goes to class intoxicated, they're drunk. They're an alcoholic. I don't care if you drank a fifth or if you drank a pint. I'm talking about the fact that you signed up for a program in here, and you're good at the program, and then you don't show up to class, and you're drunk when you do, and that's not right.
I wasn't drunk that time.
The teacher said you were under the influence.
Well, what does that teacher know? She didn't catch me with a bottle.
Well, you didn't have the bottle because the bottle was inside you. That's why you didn't have the bottle. That's what she caught you with, the drunkenness. Bottles don't get drunk. People do.
I just had one little drink. I wasn't drunk. I had one little drink, and I went to class, and everybody drinks a little bit sometimes.
Well, are you planning to stop it or not? That's what I'm asking you. We're running out of time here, Claude. Now, I'm talking to you. I'm trying to help out. You have a serious problem.
Okay, I'll stop it if I can, but I'm not promising anything.
I
tried
you,
it before.
But will you go to the AA thing? It only takes about 20 minutes a day to go to the meeting, half hour a day. It's right here in the hospital.
Well, I went to them before, and
You never went. We checked it with them. I never went more than two or three times. I want you to go every day for 6 months or every day while you're in the hospital. Then we'll make plans when you get out. You want to spend the rest of your life in this hospital?
No.
When you are taking this vocational program to get yourself a roof straightened out. You did have a good job in your life at times. You're not.
Yeah, I was
you
the best electrician in all Georgia.
All right.
I used to make $150,000 a month.
All right. I don't know about that, but I won't argue with you.
Shoot, I was a lot. I used to crawl up on those lines. And it gave me a steadier hand to get up there around there with some liquor in me. I couldn't.
So what kind of course are you taking now? Is it electronic course you're in now?
Yeah, electrical.
You could learn TV repair and this kind of stuff. A man that knows, once he knows one thing in electricity, usually picks the other up fast.
If they let me go to it.
Well, that's what we're working on. I mean, I'm just asking you, do you want to spend your life arguing with psychiatrists that are threatening you, people are threatening to take your pension away and throw you out of the hospital, or do you want to spend your life saying, look, I've been doing bad for a while and I want to do better? That's the real question here. You may be right, I may not be able to get your pension away from you, but what do you want to hassle it for? Is that really the problem? Don't you want to take your pension, get your training, and get out of here?
Yeah, if these people leave me alone.
Well, they'll leave you alone.
Well, tell them to let me off restriction.
Well, when you're off restriction, you'll get off. It's only another rest of this day, I think. That's
well, it's not fair. I only had one little drink, and they put me on restriction for 10 days.
Well, then that sounds has to be that way. But when you're off restriction, you can go back into the class. It'll still be meeting. You're smart. You can catch up.
Yeah, but look at all the time I've wasted.
Well, I can't get you off restriction, so it doesn't work that way.
The fellow, VA pension taken away,
that I could do. That I could do, yeah, yeah, yeah. See, I didn't put you on restriction. The fellow that put you on, you can talk to him. Maybe he'll let you off.
Well, he didn't know anyway. He's the worst alcoholic up on that ward. Everybody knows he drinks when nobody's around.
Well, then you're in tough shape. But when you get off restriction, you willing to go back to class?
Yeah, I'll go back to class now if they let me off restriction.
And will you go to the AA thing every day?
I'll go to it, but it's not going to help.
I understand that. Will you go to it?
Will they let me off restriction if I go to it?
I doubt it, but when you're off restriction, you can go to it. Oh, you can go to it on restriction. It's going to meet right up there.
Well, if they're not going to let me off restriction, why should I go to it?
In other words, you're willing to ruin your life because of what we do, huh? That's a good thing.
I'm not ruining my life.
You consider your life satisfactory now, 45 years old, on a pension in a VA hospital on restriction because you're drunk and half thrown out of a program? That's okay. Doesn't sound too good to me.
Yeah, but I'm not an alcoholic.
I can argue the point with you. I want you to go to the AA class. I want you to go to your regular class. And then I want to see you. And we'll see what works out. You said you'd do it, so I assume you will.
If you can get me off restriction, I'll go to AA.
I can't get you off restriction.
Well,
what will get you off restriction is 8 more days. That'll get you off restriction.
Well,
45 years old, 8 more days ain't going to mean nothing in your life.
Why should I go to AA? I mean, I've been there before. It didn't do any good, and it's not going to get me off restriction.
I didn't tell you it'd do you any good. I said, would you go? And if you say no, okay. And if you say no to AA in class, then I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. And then we're going to have a hassle. And if I win, you're screwed. And I don't want to do that. And if I don't win, you're still screwed. I mean, either way.
I'm not screwed. I can go out and get a job being an electrician anytime I want.
Well, you can do what I said or not. If it depends upon restriction, I can't do it. Are you going to serve out the rest of your restriction on the ward? You're going to go to the AA class regularly, and are you going to go back to your class when restriction's over? That's the plan we're trying to make. That's the only plan that we're going to accept. And it's a plan that you think is good anyway.
Well,
except
if AA
for
doesn't work again, just like it didn't work before. It's just a waste of time.
If you'll go every day, that's all we'll ask of you. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Okay, how long do I have to go for?
As long as you're in the hospital.
Well, last time I went, as soon as I got out.
You only read twice.
Yeah, and I drank both times as soon as I got out of it.
If you say you don't want to go, then I'll do what I said I'm going to do. If you say you want to go, then I'll try and help you. That's your choice. We got no more time. Are you willing to follow the plan I made for you, which is go to class when restriction's over and go to AA starting tonight every day while you're in the hospital? And I'll see you once a week, see how you're getting along, and I'll do everything I can to help you.
Okay, I'll go, but I'm not going to like it.
Lots of things we don't like. I don't like having to threaten you. I think it's miserable. I don't like it at all. Yeah. But I do it.
You couldn't threaten me anyway. You're just a big blowhard.
Well, that may be, but I don't even like being a blowhard.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't just like everything we do, but we do it anyway. What the hell? On the other hand, if you do get your electronic class finished, you do get TV repairing, and you do get your alcohol problem, whatever it is, under control, who's going to be better off, me or you?
I can get a job now, I told you.
I asked you a question. If you do all those things, you're going to be better off or not?
Well, if I don't really need that training, I can go out and get a
job. You volunteered for it.
Well, since I'm here at the hospital, I may as well do something.
Well, you want to do it since you're here at the hospital, then, okay?
Better than sitting up there doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So will you start to go to the AA tonight and go back to your class when you're off restriction? And can we meet and maybe make some better plans?
Yeah, I'll go, but I'm telling you now, it's not going to do any good.
Not going to do any harm.
Yeah, so I could be doing something else down the rec hall, dancing with the girls and stuff, instead of going to those dumb AA meetings.
You could. But in my opinion, you can do both. One thing about the girls at the rec hall, they hang around, you know.
No, after the dance, they send them back to their unit.
Well, you going to do it or not?
Yeah, I'll do it, but it isn't going to do any good, and I'm going to miss my dances, and it's just, you know, it's going to make me nervous, and I'm going to hate it, and I'm not going to...
It's a problem, Claude, but that's what I want to see you, to kind of help you work these things out. That's my job. Will you see me again next week if you get along? You'll be off restriction by next week.
Yeah, I'll come back. But if it doesn't do any good, can I get out of it?
Well, let's talk about that next week. This week you're going to stay on restriction and go to AA. Next week you're going to start class. If you do that, I'm not going to throw you out of the hospital or threaten you in any way. I'm going to try and be as nice to you as I can, because I don't like being that way anyway.
Okay, I'll go.
Okay, then I'll write this out here, just what you're supposed to do, and I'll send a copy up to the ward so everybody knows. And
now why don't you make those other guys go to AA too?
I got another name right here. You think I treated you rough? Wait till I treat that guy. I mean, man, I treat you with kid gloves. I don't just pick on you. Hell.
You guys are unfair. I don't know. I'm thinking about writing to my senator. Anyway.
That's a good idea. Make sure you get my name correctly when you write him. I'll give you my card. Tell him that this son of a bitch is pushing on a poor veteran.
Yeah, I'll get Culliver.
That got shot in the knee.
Yeah, I'll get Culliver Kid to take care of you.
You might.
I don't have to do any of this stuff.
So, get my name straight when you write to your center. And if your center stands by you, then you got a good center. I hope you do. You never want to ever know what state you live in. Live in the same state this hospital's in?
Yeah.
Well, you got two centers in this state. You got a 50-50 chance of finding one that'll listen to you.
I'm going to write to them and have them fired.
I'll be all right. I'll be all right. You do that. Okay, you can do what we said?
Yeah.
Okay, Claude. Good to see you. See you next week. Okay. All right, just hang it up over there. These guys are kind of persistent, you know, and you just got to do something. I'm not averse to threatening people, take away their pension, because I've done it. I've done it on two occasions. I've removed pensions from VA guys, and they were very aggravated. Well, it's a lot of work. But if you're persistent and you build a good case, you can get rid of a non-service connected disability because they're drinking, and you don't get a pension for that. Not if you offer them a program and they don't take it. And if you don't do it, hell, you kind of make them a little bit thinking you care anyway. Yeah. Yeah. flying tape recorders are better. And I think you just tell the person that we got to record this. If we don't, I can't, you know, get my diploma. So please help me out. Yeah. Oh, now you cry enough, they'd be all right. You get real sad, you know. These people are soft-hearted, you know. And then the tape recorder sits there, and then you tell them, you know, that you'll give them a copy of the tape, too. See, that's what they like. And they'll give you a copy, too, because it's kind of interesting. And then you make up extra copy. You may have, maybe have two recorders run there and give them one or something, and then they kind of like it, you know. Well, then you have to write it up. But you can't write anything up without the person's permission anyway. So you can usually get the permission. What? You always have the tape recorder on the table. You never, nothing hidden, you know. That's not good. People come around and shoot you or something. But anyway, I don't know. I don't take notes or do tape recordings of what I mean, I just don't do that because I don't need to, but I don't do it because I remember what I talk about. And if I forget it, then it ain't worth remembering. I got pretty good memory. Yes. Yeah, he had a little control over this guy. At least I could threaten him, and I'm willing to do it. Yeah, that's good. You got someone that can afford $100 a day, and we'll come up here, and I'll work with him. Sure. If you got a wedge, you use it. You're crazy not to. If you have no wedge, then you do what you can. If you want to play an alcoholic, that kind of a wealthy alcoholic that can afford to support his habit and his psychiatrist, then come on up. Yes? What? Geriatric patient? Sure, you want to hear from an old folks? Yeah, that's fine. I like geriatric patients. All right. Thank you. We'll have a geriatric patient. And the alcoholic person in the sanitarium, you just kind of talk to him and ask him if this is what he wants to do with his life, that's all. And you get friendly and you offer him something like that, and it either works or it doesn't. In other words, I have had very wealthy people who come to me with problems, and you can't use money or deprivation. They just, you know, having money is not necessarily, when you got serious trouble, such an advantage, because it allows you to afford your troubles. And then you don't do much about it. Most people need kind of a little shove in some direction. What's the name of this person?
Okay, let's say his name is Ed.
Ed? And?
And his behavior is, he wants out of this locked ward, but...
Why is he on a locked ward? Just because he's old?
Well, because he's violent, he's hostile, and he runs away from the hospital.
How old is he?
He's, say, 36.
That's not it. Is that what age down south you get to be geriatric, is 36? California, it takes longer.
Okay, now, in this hospital...
Wait a second, is that what she had in mind? I thought geriatric was kind of a little older.
Okay, I can do another patient tomorrow.
Well, how old do you have in mind? I thought maybe an older person's not violent and stuff, but kind of just something different, you know, like maybe inadequate or unhappy or something.
Okay.
Got another one?
I've got a lot of them.
All right. Let's get us an older one.
Okay, this man...
That younger one sounds dangerous. I don't want to deal with him.
This man's not any better. He's
63. 63, all right.
He's very hostile.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're talking, he would probably be eating this chair or just picking up things off the floor, very much trying to get oral satisfaction.
You mean he eats at the arm of the chair?
Yes.
Does he have teeth?
Yes, he does. Hey, he's eaten eyeglasses before.
Mm-hmm.
And how would reality orientation help a patient like this who has very limited vocabulary? He has a vocabulary, but he doesn't use it. He just doesn't want to talk to people that much. When he wants something, he will talk to people.
Well, it sounds like a hard problem. Been in that hospital a while?
Since July.
Oh, that's all? Will he talk at all? I mean, I there's no way I can role play with someone that can't talk. See, is it? It's just not possible.
Okay, one patient. He's very verbal.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't want to join in any...
That's all right.
...activities.
Is he older, too?
Mm-hmm. He's about 60. Doesn't want to join in any...
This guy's not eating chairs, then?
No, just food. And he seems to have good sense. He likes the hospital. He's saying it's institutionalized. He's been there about 10 years.
And what's your goal with him? To get him out, is that it?
My goal is to give him... we have a level in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal is to get him cleaned up, get him where he's able to socialize with his fellow patients, move him on to another building.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been in this building so long that he doesn't want to leave.
What's his name? Ed?
Anything.
Okay. All right, Ed. We got to talk for a little bit. We haven't talked for a couple of weeks now.
I don't have to talk to you.
Well, I don't say you have to. Don't you want to? We haven't talked for a couple of weeks. I mean, I spend a little time here, and I'd like to talk to you.
And what do you want from me?
Well, I'm just kind of check over how you're doing.
I'm doing fine. You can see that.
Where are you, Ed?
Sitting here.
Whereabouts is here? Are you in a hospital?
I'm in Shan.
You know where that is?
Mm-hmm.
What city is it in?
Columbia.
Columbia? All right. How come you're here? I'm just kind of reviewing your case between you and me. How come you're here?
I like it here.
All right. You want to stay?
Mm-hmm.
Rest of your life?
It's okay.
I mean, do you want to stay the rest of your life? I know it's okay, but I'm asking you to answer that question, yes or no. Would you like to do better than being here?
Yeah. Wouldn't mind being out.
Mm-hmm. But you don't want to go out suddenly. I mean, you wouldn't want me to throw you out this afternoon, would you?
No.
No, I wouldn't.
I would go home.
I wouldn't do that. What are you doing here? Just sit?
Sit. Watch TV.
Anything else?
I walk around.
You do any work? You got any kind of job in the hospital?
No.
How come? Don't you like to work?
Not worth my time.
You mean you just sit here and watch the TV and eat the hospital food? You don't do nothing?
I help around the ward.
You do help around. That's what I heard, you help around.
They don't pay me for it.
Well, why should they pay you? Do you pay for your room and board?
No.
I mean, if you paid for your room and board, it costs about $600 a month to keep here. We'll pay you $3 an hour for your work. You're getting a pretty good deal here.
Yeah.
So we appreciate your helping out once in a while.
You're welcome.
Thank you. When the ward has a meeting, do you participate?
No, those people are nuts. I ain't gonna talk with them.
You kind of stick to yourself, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any friends in here at all?
A few.
Who's your friend?
Well, that nurse's aide over there, he's okay.
He helps you?
He gives me some tobacco.
Mm-hmm. You talk to him once in a while?
Yeah, when I want tobacco.
What do you talk about?
He asks me how I'm doing. I tell him. And he comes over, speaks to me every now and then.
And he treats you well?
Pretty well.
Does anybody here treat you badly?
I get beat up every now and then by other patients. But usually I can handle them.
What makes them beat you up? Do you start a fight with them?
No, they just don't have good sense.
There's a lot of crazy people in here, aren't there?
They sure are.
This is a mental hospital. That's why they're here. This is a place for crazy people. Are you crazy?
I'm not crazy.
And how come you're here?
I don't know.
You're not crazy?
No.
You don't see little men run across the floor and all that kind of stuff?
I don't see men. I don't hear things. And I don't see things.
You don't think you're Jesus or something like that? You know where you came from? What town you used to live in?
Yes.
You don't sound crazy to me.
I ain't.
Well, what we have here...
I appreciate you calling me crazy.
I didn't. I say you don't sound crazy to me. Some of those other people are more crazy than you, certainly. Some of them are really nuts, aren't they? Guys that would hit you, that's crazy, isn't it? You never start a fight, do you?
Only start one when I have to.
What do you mean when they start first, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something that irritates me.
But it's usually their craziness that irritates you, isn't it? They start talking crazy to you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you do help out here. The nurse says you help out when you're asked. You're always polite. You don't do a lot, but there isn't a lot to do, right?
That's true.
Do you ever go out of the ward? Do you ever go outside?
No, I don't care about going outside.
Just please stay inside, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Do you enjoy doing anything like pool table over there? Ever shoot a little pool or something like that?
No, I can't play pool.
Don't know how, huh?
Don't know how.
Monopoly, cards, anything? You didn't do anything besides watch TV?
Help out on the ward.
How about when that girl comes around with all those ashtrays and that kind of stuff? Do you ever make an ashtray out of tiles?
No, I don't bother with that type of stuff.
That's the OT girl. You don't do that. How about the physical therapy? You ever go and do exercises or anything?
No. That's a waste of time.
What is a good thing to do, Ed? What do you think is good for you to do? You don't like to do much of anything. Is there anything you could do that maybe we could help you out?
I'd like to get up in number one building. That's a nice place up there.
You know, that's one of the reasons I talked to you. We were hoping you'd go over there.
Really?
There's only
what
one.
I have to do?
Well, same thing as here, except for one thing. They got a group going over there, and you... I mean, there's some crazy people in that group, but you got to kind of tolerate a little bit and just sit in the group. Don't have to talk any, but just got to kind of sit in the group. That's the only thing. We don't ask you to talk, but we ask you to sit there, and if you feel like saying something, fine.
But one makes me mad, I won't hit him.
You don't have a big record for hitting people. We're not worried about that. There's very little hitting up there. The people that hit her are kind of back down here.
Well, I have to talk to those people up there?
No. Just have to attend the meeting and listen, or even not listen, just have to attend it. You can close your ears if you want to, I mean, however you care.
I don't know if I want to get a group up there. I just want to go to that building.
And you have to participate in a job, only here you got kind of a pickup job. There you got a regular job for about 2 hours a day. There's a whole bunch of jobs you can select from, working someplace in the hospital, like in the laundry or in the kitchen. Or I'm the landscaping crew.
Well, what does that give me if I do that?
Well, that's part of the deal of going to that building. 2 hours a day. You got a lot of time, you know. What do you watch television about 8 hours a day now?
Yeah.
So you watch it 6 hours. What's the difference?
I'm not very good on...
Well, we don't ask you to do a good job. We just ask you to give it a try.
If I don't like it, can I quit and stay up there?
Well,
I don't like it.
Well, we'd like to find something you like. We'll work at it, you know, and we'll look around. We're open-minded. There may be something you like. What did you do in your life? You know, you didn't just do nothing all your life. You must have done some things. What kind of work did you do, Ed?
Worked in a mill.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have any mill work here, but...
I don't want to work in a mill.
We don't have that here. But how about, sometimes, like, just... You know, the visitor's room where they come in there after the visitors, a couple of guys kind of tidy it up. That'd be a job. Would that be something you might do?
You know, I'm getting on in years.
You're not too feeble to pick up an ashtray.
Yeah.
Dump it out. Wipe it out.
I don't know. It's probably better for my health if I just sat here.
But you see, you can't get in building number one if you sit here. And all we ask is...
Why do you ask an old man to work?
Just a couple hours a day. You're not that old, Ed.
You're young. You don't know.
You're a pretty capable guy.
I could do that, I guess, but I've been here for 10 years. I'm used to it here.
It's a big change, and let me say this. How about starting up there with an hour a day and then try and work up to 2 hours? Maybe I exceeded myself by asking 2 hours.
Well, when would I have to leave?
Anytime. How about today?
I can't leave today.
Well, when do you want to leave? You'd like to go up to building number one, but you don't want to leave today, huh? They got a color TV up there, just like here, you know.
It's okay.
Why did you ask me to go to building number one? I'm just interested.
It's cleaner up there.
Yes, it is. See, everybody does that 2 hours work a day. It keeps it cleaner.
It's a newer building, too.
Newer? Younger people up there, too, you know. A lot of old folks back here.
Sure are.
Now, you're not nearly as old as some of these other people. Wouldn't you enjoy being around younger people? Not quite as crazy up there, too.
Last time I was out, I got a fight. They sent me back down here.
Well, you're not going up there to fight, are you?
No. People fight.
Yeah, they do, but we got faith in you.
I'm not going back down to fight.
We got faith in you. Now, the problem with fighting when you get as old as you are, because for fighting you are a little old, is sometimes you get your head knocked off by some of these younger guys. You got to be a little careful.
I can handle myself.
Well, why don't we do this, Ed? Let me say this to you. You don't want to go today, right?
Right.
Okay. And I don't want to say go tomorrow or the next day, because you might not be ready then, right? Well, why don't you and I do this? Why don't we take a walk up to the building? Just kind of walk through and let's take a look at it and come back, just so you can kind of get an idea of what it's like. You never been there hardly, have you? Just heard about it.
Yeah, but I don't care about seeing it right now.
Wouldn't you take a walk with me?
No, I don't want to walk with you.
Well, I'd like to walk with you. I'd like to take you up there. I'd like to introduce you to the people and tell you the people that you're interested in coming, and then get you back here, and then you can think about it. I think you'd enjoy it. Get out, sunny day today, take a 10-minute, we'll only take 10 minutes. You're not doing anything anyway.
Long walk up there. Well,
if it gets too tiresome, I'll carry you part of the way. We'll get a wheelchair. If you get too tired, we'll call for a chair. I think you could make it.
Okay.
About a 3-minute walk over there. We'll spend about 5 minutes there and then we'll come on back. The whole deal will be 10 minutes, 11 minutes. Let's do it. Let's just go up and take a look around.
Okay.
And let me just introduce you just to the head nurse. I want to introduce everybody, just the head nurse. Her name is Mrs. Bryan up there. She's a very nice woman. I haven't told her anything about you, so you just say hello to her, okay?
Well, I heard they won't take me up there because I've been in a lot of fights.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go up and take a look at it anyway, all right? I've been in a fight for an awful long time.
It felt like it.
Well, maybe you are getting a little old, Ed. Maybe you are. You know, sometimes when people get old, they do kind of lose their belligerency a little bit. But whatever it is, you have expressed a desire to go up there, and I'd like to walk you up there and take a look around, and then we come back. I don't want you to feel I'm pressuring you.
Okay, I'll walk up with you.
Okay, good. Let's go on up, okay? Okay, good. Let's give that a try, and then we'll see where we go. All right. It's getting to be 3:15, and this afternoon was scheduled to be from 1:30 on. If anyone has an urge to play any more people, I'll do it. But otherwise, I'd like to answer these questions and kind of wind it up. I don't want to give a break and then... and then come back. It's too late for that. Yeah. 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 Right. Well, no. It wasn't because of the age. It was because of his definite problem of alcoholism, which I found, unless you get very direct and very definite and very kind of, the alcoholics, like, they think in straight lines, you know, their brains aren't flexible. And you got to kind of get right to them. Now, this old fella here, he's sitting there 10 years, and he's comfortable, but he has expressed a desire. I'm gonna work on him just as careful as can be. I just want to drift up there. If he gets to the door and says he doesn't want to go in, I'll say, fine. We'll walk up, we'll go through some other day. I'm just going to, because it's going to be a big step for him to make a change. He's scared.